Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
This is Nip Impression for the week of the 3rd of March, 2014. The title is OuterNet. Folks, the innovations are coming fast and furious this year. I'll predict they will keep coming fast and furious, too. Computer power is becoming so cheap and the number of computer scientists and engineers so large that we will, indeed, reach singularity by 2020, as some have predicted. The mind-blowing innovation of the week, and we just had Amazon Flow last week, is the OuterNet. Created by something called the Media Development Investment Fund, the idea is to launch hundreds of tiny satellites into low Earth orbit, enabling everyone on Earth to receive, quote, free Wi-Fi. They plan to do this in 2015. There are a few caveats to this, and none appear to be technical. First, it appears the OuterNet is to be one way. That is, like radio or television, you will be able to receive information from OuterNet, but you will not be able to use it to transmit information. And there's the rub. OuterNet will control what is transmitted and will not be the entire World Wide Web. Hence, while they talk about removing barriers to censorship currently created by countries which do not want their population to receive internet content, they are in effect choosing to be censors themselves because only they choose what is on OuterNet. There's supposed to be some sort of way we can all vote on what will be on OuterNet, but that remains to be seen. However, from our point of view here, talking about the pulp and paper industry, this looks like another way to circumvent paper as a communications medium. We have already suffered many slings and arrows in this category. This just appears to be another. So what will this do to our industry? It may finally and completely kill off print newspapers. As tablets become better and better, and with the smallest signals just floating around the earth, every newspaper that the OuterNet deems appropriate will be available to everyone. This will no doubt affect education, logistics, and many other fields as well. These are all fields important to our industry as a consumer of information and as a provider of media for the transmission of knowledge. The answer for us as a vibrant industry may lie in a new direction. Rather than being defensive about what we are losing, it is perhaps time that we went on the offense about what society is losing. Two Sides, that's TWOSIDES.US, may be on the right path, it just may need some adjustment. There are studies and attitudes that suggest we are losing some of the quality of life as we move away from tactile paper and similar materials we hold in our hands. Perhaps a whole new field will be needed, a field that restores and sustains that portion of the human experience that demands reality. I don't think what I am talking about is books or board games or jigsaw puzzles, the things we have conventionally made from cellulose. I'm thinking of something bigger, something that, don't laugh, brings as much to the quality of life as sanitary tissue products do. I don't know what this idea is. I can barely grasp the concept. However, I'm sure that humans of the future are going to find they need something to touch, feel, experience. If you think about it, the electronic age has really only exploited two of our senses, vision and hearing. Smell, taste, and touch are pretty much on the sidelines. Surely we can call up from our great little fiber some life-enhancing experiences to make up for the sensory neglect. We'll give you a break on the quiz this week. Just ponder these things, please. For safety this week, imagine if we can get some time on the OuterNet, how easily we will be able to beam high-quality safety training everywhere economically. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2014 Papri Talo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
RMR Mechanical is a merit shop contractor whose principals have over 100 years combined experience. Licensed in 19 states, RMR Mechanical works with process industries and utilities with special expertise in boiler maintenance and repair. Simply put, RMR Mechanical provides the best value to ensure your money is effectively spent. We perform as planned. For more information, call 770-205-9646 or visit www.rmrmechanical.com. We look forward to helping you succeed.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 10th of March, 2014. The title is, Are You Where You Are? Over the years, I have seen many people make what I think is a tragic mistake. I'll state it more simply than I left it in the headline. Many people live in the past or the future, not in the now. You can tell by their action, talk, and trinkets. They are constantly talking about a place they used to live, work, or visit. Their workspace is loaded with trinkets and photos from that time and place, or they talk about where they're going to be when some big event happens. All we have is now. As I write this, I assume I'll finish this column, save it, get up, and walk out of my office. That is all assumptions. Many things, most highly unlikely, can happen before I can do these things I visualize. Now, likely most of us should not get so caught up in living in the absolute speck of time we are currently occupying that we fail to plan at all. That is not what I'm talking about here. I am talking about obsessively living in the past or the future. I have seen people never move to the job location where they go to work every day. The worst case I ever saw of this was a collective one at a mill in the Mid-South. Many professionals there had come from a mill that was shut down when this one was built. That defunct mill was in the northeastern U.S. They sat around and talked about it. They spent long summer vacations near the old mill. They spent long winters talking about their long summer vacations. They were caught in the past. If you are not where you want to be, I suggest you find a way to get yourself there. Why be miserable? I can attest to you at the age of 63 that a 40-year career goes by in the wink of an eye. Get yourself to a place you want to be. However, a caution is in order about this move, too. Make sure the place you want to be is a place in reality, not a fantasy in your mind. This mistake has been observed more than once as well. For instance, my boss, who couldn't wait to retire and go fly fishing, he overdid it. I am not sure, but I think he gave it up after about 6 months. The reality did not live up to the fantasy. Perhaps one thing that helps me gain some perspective is the 6 months I spent in the hospital 7 years ago. It occurred to me a few months ago when I was racing across Dallas, Texas, trying to catch a plane early one morning. The thought was this: the best day in the hospital is no comparison to the worst day caught in a traffic jam. I'll take the traffic jam any time. That is reality. So examine your own life. Where are you living besides where you are physically located? What fantasy is fooling you into thinking something else would be or has been better? Take a solemn look at the inner workings of yourself to sort this out. It is well worth it. If you have anything to share on the subject, we'll let you do it in this week's quiz online. For safety this week, there is no doubt that safety happens in the here and now. Don't let your daydreaming affect your safety attitude. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2014 Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you know that in a typical U.S. pulp mill, it is possible to reduce your makeup chemical consumption by up to 5% and your fuel and steam cost up to 6% with minimal investment cost? For more information, give Conmark Systems Incorporated a call today at 770-300-0224. That's 770-300-0224. Or visit their website at www.conmark.com.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 17th of March, 2014. The title is App Frugality. I bought my first computing machine about 1975. It was an old Marchant rotary calculator. My employer, Procter & Gamble, was replacing these behemoths with electronic calculators, and they sold these obsolete machines at a silent auction. I paid $25 for it. I would be surprised if 5% of this readership knows what I am talking about. In 1977, I bought my first calculator. It had memory sticks for simple programs. It was a TI-59. At Christmas time, 1979, I bought my first computer, an Apple II Plus. I have been into computers and the efficiencies they provide as long as I've been able to afford them. I have bought countless computers over the years since that first Apple. This is a problem for an addict like me. The addiction problem today is apps. Every time I see a new one, I have to try it out. Yet even worse than wasting my own time, I have a tendency to forward them to my employees. If I don't get this habit under control soon, I'll have to hire an employee just to make up for the time I and my current employees waste trying to save time with new apps. All of this is because of my urge to be efficient. You may have a similar problem. I'll share with you the ways I propose to deal with it. First, you probably saw a particular app in a news story. If so, your thoughts of buying it or obtaining it for free could be considered an impulse buy. Don't get me wrong, all impulse buys are not necessarily bad, but the odds suggest you are making a mistake. So first and foremost, do not let your excitement about the novelty overshadow your judgment about practicality and utility. Second, an app that is good for you does not mean it is good for everyone. Indeed, it may be good for no one in your company but you. Third, an app will likely contribute to your brain atrophying. It is true. The more we rely on programs to do our thinking for us, the duller we become. My suggestion would be, horror of horrors, more bureaucracy. I think each site should have an app guru. This app guru would be the clearinghouse for all apps used by that site. In larger companies, this person could report to an overall app coordinator. In my thinking, the app guru would spend part of their time looking for apps serendipitously and evaluating them. Additionally, employees could submit requests to the app guru to be on the lookout for an app that would accomplish a particular task. The app guru would present management with apps to try out, offer a trial plan, and monitor the results. In this way, the facility should come into app balance. What do you think? Let us know in our quiz this week. For safety this week, there are already many good safety apps. We'll ask for your recommendations in the quiz referenced above. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2014 Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Mike Ryan of Process Labs knows rotary kilns and recosticizing. Located in Chillicothe, Ohio, USA, Process Labs has decades of experience and their services are in demand around the world. You can find them online at www.processlaboratories.com or call them at 1-740-775-5520. That's 1-740-775-5520.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 24th of March, 2014. The title is The Alpha and Omega. I have just returned from 2 weeks in Guatemala. This is my fourth trip there in about 2.5 years. My focus is construction of modest homes for the indigenous Mayans. In this process, one of the many, quotes, gospels I preach to my fellow foreign toilers is the beauty of our wonderful pulp and paper industry. I find it a great opportunity to spread the word of our industry, just like I do talking about a funny Jewish carpenter that wandered the Middle East a couple of millennia ago. My pulp and paper conversations usually get around to this concept. I propose to them that the first luxury item introduced into any culture is toilet paper, the alpha, if you will. People smile and laugh, but eventually, after a few minutes of conversation, come around to my way of thinking. Emboldened, I tell them the next luxury good is feminine sanitary products. The sequence is quite simple and not sexist. Toilet paper affects all the population, feminine sanitary products less than half the population. After a few more minutes, they have bought my ideas fully and without prejudice. This, of course, allows me to go on and explain more about our great industry, its long history, its environmental consciousness, and so forth. People who give our ubiquitous products little thought leave my conversations, I like to think, a bit wiser about our important products. Being with these people for a week or so at a time, they will come up to me often and exclaim that they have thought of another paper product in their lives. Invariably, in these conversations, the, quotes, dead grades, end quotes, of paper, particularly newsprint, are often topics. Yes, we all agree newspapers in printed form are a dying and nearly dead breed. However, these days I have a new twist to add to that, and it's a twist brought about by someone to whom the pulp and paper industry is greatly indebted, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. Let's start with why we are indebted to Mr. Bezos. Mr. Bezos' Amazon has probably done more for the corrugated container business than anyone else in the history of this product. The little box containing one or two items has caused an explosion in corrugated box growth. But here is the Bezos twist. A few months ago, out of his own pocket, Mr. Bezos purchased the Washington Post. Why? He thinks printed newspaper may become a niche luxury item. If he is correct, he has produced the Omega in our column this week. Isn't this ironic? When we think of luxury goods, we think of designer clothes, luxury watches, high-end homes, and high-end automobiles. What if we can say the luxury goods market is completely bookended by paper products? What if tissue and newsprint are the alpha and omega of luxury goods? This is a story we should be running with. The luxury goods for everyone, regardless of income, are those made by our wonderful pulp and paper industry. What are you doing to spread the word about our great industry today? Let us know in this week's quiz. You can take it online. For safety this week, it is just too obvious. Avoid paper cuts. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2014 Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Do you need to maximize your mixing capabilities? Philadelphia Mixing Solutions mixer drives are specially designed to handle the rigors of mixing for the pulp and paper industry. With proven technologies for top entry and aeration, our total systems approach provides cost-effective solutions to maximize stock dispersion and degassing. For more information on our mixer and aeration products, contact us today at 717-832-2800 or philamixers.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 31st of March, 2014. The title, Being Competitive in Today's World. Growing up on a farm, I came to modern business with a certain perspective. Farmers, at least in my youth, were extremely frugal, spending cash money carefully and making do with many assets and practices that perhaps qualified as, quotes, what was available, end quotes, as opposed to, quotes, best available, end quotes. I think even farmers have abandoned much of this philosophy now. Yet, it has stuck with me. I hope you don't think I'm arrogant when I say this, but I've always viewed business, and in my case, industry, as a bit of a spendthrift. A paper mill wastes more money before lunch than a farmer of my parents' generation would waste in a lifetime, even when accounting for inflation. What this means, if I am right, is that you have tremendous opportunities to beat your competition on the cost side of the balance sheet. Add superior products, marketing, and logistics to that, and you can't help but win. Being competitive starts with the people who work for your firm. A close second is the culture of your company. Let's talk about both of these. Superior people are essential if you hope to successfully compete. Surprisingly, these people do not necessarily need to be the most intelligent as measured by grades received in school. In fact, I, and Google agrees with me now, will suggest that academic grade point averages are seldom indicators of future performance. Attitude, drive, and street smarts, we'll just call those ADS, are far more important. A person with ADS will always keep the big picture in mind and will know when they need more help from those with better academic intelligence than themselves. Read about Abraham Lincoln. Dorothy Kern Goodwin's A Team of Rivals is a good place to start. Once when Lincoln was filling out some sort of form, under the question education, he wrote, deficient. This is from a man who could cite from memory nearly all the works of Shakespeare. Nevertheless, he knew his limits and gathered about himself those who could fill in those limits. ADS people can do this. One of my clients thinks that these qualities are so important, they administer the PI test to every job applicant. This is the first thing they do. If you don't score well on PI, you are done. What is PI? It is the predictive index. And I'll give them a free plug. Go to www.piworldwide.com to see for yourself. The other issue for this week is your corporate culture. I am often involved in starting up new mills. I tell the senior staff the same thing every time. You have one chance to set your culture. Can cultures be changed? Yes. How do you change them? With a very professional, dynamic leader, and you change them fast. Changing a culture is risky and dangerous. However, sometimes it is the only thing that will save an enterprise. Excuse me. I have watched the culture in one entity in our industry for over 25 years. My only conclusion to save it is to move it halfway across the country and invite no one of the existing staff to come along. This culture was poisoned long ago by one person. The effects of that poisoning linger to this day. Bottom line, tough to make a great culture, easy to kill it. A friend of mine once led a large company in our industry. It was during the time when it became popular to do away with a receptionist and install a phone and phone list in the lobby instead. He didn't do this. I asked why. I'll paraphrase his answer. Hypocrisy. Don't you think I know we waste more money in the back end of our mills before lunch than a receptionist costs in a year? Much of what passed for management in our industry is merely window dressing. Yet, it is effective people coupled with effective management that can make all the difference in your mill's performance. Regularly in our mature industry, mills are surprised when visitors from on high arrive to discuss an imminent shutdown plan. In shrinking markets, there will be shutdowns, but your job is to make sure that your mill is not the one going out of business. In fact, being at the top of the scale in your grades should be your only goal. Given a choice of superior people or another competitive asset, which would you choose? Please take our weekly quiz online. Competitiveness involves safety, too. One can fairly easily determine the competitiveness of a mill by looking at its safety record. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2014 Papri Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.